Since the dawn of the 21st century, scientific discovery has rushed forward at lightning speed. Genetics, physics, computerized technologies, robotics, virtual reality. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert as they uncover the truths behind this ultimate scientific deception. Get ready for Sci Friday.
I figured you had some skeletons in your closet, but I didn't know they'd be yours. Welcome to Sci Friday from Skywatch TV. Welcome. I'm Derek Gilbert. Joining me, as always, our science advisor, my best friend and the author of the exciting Red Wing saga, Sharon K. Gilbert.
Hi, sweetie. Hi, love. It's just getting to where you can't even list the books, isn't it?
There's just too many to list.
There are too many of them. In fact, I've run out of space on the desk, and we'll explain why here in a minute. That was from Westworld.
It was. That has become my favorite program.
Yeah.
It is probably the best episodic television I've seen in years.
I was just going to say, warning again, this is not for young viewers. A very violent and sexually explicit program.
And as with Altered Carbon, which we had talked about previously, it's because it shows what humanity would be like if we were to live without, with the illusion of no consequences.
Right.
Because, you know, obviously as Christians, we understand that there are consequences for our choices as well as for our actions. And of course, the most important choice is how we respond to the question Jesus asked Peter, who do you say I am? Mm-hmm. That's the pass-fail entrance exam.
It is.
To, you know, glory, to the afterlife.
It's a one or a zero, isn't it?
Exactly right. It's a binary world,
mm-hmm.
believe it or not. But Altered Carbon and now Westworld shows what happens when humans try to get around that, try to cheat death. In fact, there's a very, I was debating between that line and the line from James Delos, who is the owner of the corporation that buys Westworld mm-hmm. from another company called Argos, where he says, if you're going to cheat the devil, you at least owe him an offering.
Yeah, and he says that a number of times.
At least 149 times.
Yes.
Because
we only see it a few times,
right.
But yeah, you're told it's at least 149 times. A lot of times to say that line, and I think it's an important one because we learn that you cannot necessarily upload human consciousness into a substrate and have it function.
Exactly. But again, and that's one of the many questions that's raised by this program, as with Altered Carbon. But I think the bigger consequence, of course, is what and this is a conclusion reached by the character played by Ed Harris, the man in black, whose name we find out later is William.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's a spoiler if you've not seen the first season of Westworld, but sorry.
It's not a huge spoiler.
Not a huge spoiler, because if you're paying attention, you kind of figure out early on. As with the television series Lost, which comes from the same production company, they tell the story in a non-linear fashion.
Right.
But as they try to bring James Delos back to life by putting his consciousness inside an artificial host, like the Cylons of Battlestar Galactica, mm-hmm. he finally concludes, maybe we aren't meant to live forever. Maybe humans aren't meant to live forever. And that's a point that we've made on Sci-Friday a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
The transhumanist movement misses the point that if we somehow are able to cheat the devil, in a sense, if we're able to cheat death and live forever with unregenerate hearts, we will devolve behaviorally into the most debased, debauched, sinful types of behavior that you can possibly imagine.
And it's not only the humans in the series that do that.
Right.
It is the non-humans, the hosts, so to speak.
Right.
And I don't think that word was chosen at random.
Right.
They're not simply hosting you at the ranch. They are the host as in heavenly host.
Heavenly host.
I think there are a lot of parallels to original creation and original fall that may have happened before Adam was even created. There are so many layers to this program. And again, it is very, very violent. It is sexually explicit.
Right.
It is not for the new Christians to watch, because honestly, you and I, we've watched programs like this for a long, long time, and we don't take anything away from it spiritually.
Right.
We simply see it for what it is.
Right. And to the credit of the producers and with Altered Carbon, Unlike many of the messages that are being pushed, especially to our kids through programs and movies that focus on how cool it would be to be a transhuman or a demigod, Altered Carbon, Westworld, even Battlestar Galactica, in a sense, really showed the dark side of what would happen, especially Altered Carbon and Westworld.
Oh, yeah.
Because the behavior of the humans involved is very inhuman. It's as with the Penny Dreadful.
Oh, yes.
On Starz, which, again, is another program we don't recommend, especially for children, because
it's explicit in many ways.
And, of course, it doesn't come at the program or the subject matter from a Christian worldview, but it does, interestingly, show, while showing some of the dark side, the dangers of the transhumanist worldview, it shows that the inhuman characters,
mm-hmm.
you know, Frankenstein's monster in Penny Dreadful, some of the hosts mm-hmm. in Westworld, some of the Cylons in Battlestar Galactica are actually the most human,
mm-hmm.
or at least humane.
Or seem to be humane. The word. It's not the most human, it's the
right.
most moral.
Most moral. So, they're kind of very subtly implanting an anti-Christian message
yeah.
while purporting to show the dangers of transhumanism. So the subtle message is, if we do this right, we can avoid these problems.
And I think that that's an accurate representation of the transhumanist movement. There is a belief that they can do it right, even though building an algorithm is essentially magic.
Yeah, because when it comes to these neural networks that are at the heart of artificial intelligence, those who are programming these networks admit that they don't know what's going on inside the box.
They have no idea whatsoever, so it's a big secret. And,
right.
and in many ways, Westworld reveals that. It
mm-hmm.
shows that the builders, so to speak, they really don't know what's going on.
Right.
Now, I suspect, I have theories as to where the storyline is going and why Robert Ford is the way Robert Ford is and
mm-hmm.
why Arnold, who is Bernard.
Yes.
I call him Bernarnold.
yeah.
Why he is the way he is. But as a writer, I love guessing and seeing where the mystery is going. But if I'm wrong, and it's a good conclusion, I'll be delighted.
Yeah, and you're more often right than not. So the writers don't often fool you when it comes to directions that they're going, which is why your Red Wing saga is so amazing.
Because and it's getting more and more complicated. And I know that there are probably some readers out there who read fiction like what I write, and they prefer a simple, straightforward storyline. I don't write that way because life's not that way.
No.
Especially if you're looking at the spirits behind, they're ancient. And so their stories are very complicated. And if you're going to get into that, you end up with a lot of people and a lot of threads going. But my prayer is that by the end of the last book, when I finally hit 1948, which is my goal, that it will all make perfect sense.
Yeah. Well, the spirits are playing 11-dimensional chess, unless you're Josh Peck, in which case it's 12-dimensional chess. He believes there's a 0th dimension. We've got a program for Skywatch TV coming up with Josh about his new book, Unraveling the Multiverse, in which we get into that a little bit. But
That is a crazy new book. You so have to get that book.
Yeah. So anyway, we're dealing with entities that are a lot older and a lot more intelligent than we are. And so you're right. When their fingers get involved in controlling the strings of the human actors, which is what the Apostle Paul told us takes place.
Yeah.
The stories are going to go in unpredictable ways, or ways that appear unpredictable to our mortal eyes.
Well, believe it or not, I'm going to actually connect this to something we discussed last week, because once you get into the spiritual realm and the plans thereof, anything goes.
Mm-hmm.
Last week we talked about our trip to Israel,
yeah.
and one of the places we visited was Petra, which is part of that whole Jordan Rift Valley.
Yeah.
The Rift, the Great Rift Valley, extends all the way from Lebanon down into West Africa.
Mozambique,
It is a very long, and some think it's actually three different rifts,
mm-hmm.
but they're all connected, they
yeah.
seem to be. And you and I were standing in Petra, and we looked up at these great rock walls, and it was clear that they fit together.
Mm-hmm.
There was no indication to me that the Nabataeans or anyone had gone in there and said, hey, look at these great big rocks. Let's just cut our way through.
Right.
And make a nice big corridor that sort of jigs and jags and goes up and down. You'd think they'd have made it straight if they'd done that. But no, it's sort of snake-like.
Mm-hmm.
And it clearly fits together. And I did some reading on it geologically this morning, and the belief is that indeed it was caused by water.
Really?
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Now, the geologist, I think, is assuming that it was, that there was a crack and that water forced open the crack.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And then over millions and millions of years.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well,
a river that is not currently there. It's one of the dry, the one of the wadis.
Right.
One of the, but what if it's was caused by something else?
Well, that was a thought that occurred to us as we were going through this crack, which is called the Bab el-Sik, the gate. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what el-Sik means, but anyway.
I can look it up, but I think it has to do with the idea of a corridor, but let me look it up.
Okay, but anyway, it's the entrance that leads into Petra, and you would have seen it if you'd watched the film, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, because it's the entrance to this lost city, and the treasury building, which was carved into the side of the granite, wasn't really a treasury, probably a tomb for one of the most famous of the Nabataean kings.
Mm-hmm.
As we were walking through it, it was clear that the rocks are volcanic because you could see the black marks on the rocks, and it almost looked like scorch marks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the region, the rift, because it's an area where the plates are basically pulling apart,
mm-hmm.
Is volcanically active, although not at the moment, or has been in the past, let me say.
Not as volcanically active in that region, but West Africa, it is.
Yes, it is. So the thought came to mind as, you know, what if this, rather than being
No, not West Africa, sorry, East Africa.
Africa.
I keep saying
right.
West, it's East Africa.
Right, Kenya down to Mozambique.
Yeah.
What if this didn't happen over a long period of time? It's the same theory that geologists have about the creation of the Grand Canyon. That
mm-hmm.
it was, and at least there's a river at the bottom of the canyon.
Mm-hmm.
But the belief is that it just happened over lots and lots and lots of time. What if this happened all at once?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we're seeing the scorch marks there is because something happened that caused this to break apart in a hurry and
violently.
Left behind. And in so doing, released a lot of heat,
mm-hmm.
or was caused by a lot of heat. What if this was the result of Satan falling from heaven like lightning? Now, I know that's speculation.
That is one possibility. I would argue that at the very least it may be the fountains of the deep opening up, and along with that may have been volcanic. When you have a lot of activity in the crust of the earth, it's not unusual to have earthquakes and volcanoes going off at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was water compressed underneath the crust, and it erupted then. I mean, take a look at what's going on at Yellowstone. Yellowstone.
Yeah. The old steamboat geyser, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a really interesting point because there's a belief there was a belief 2,000 years ago that Banias, the Grotto of Pan, was one of the places where the fountains of the deep emerged.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's that big cave there at the foot of Mount Hermon where there are inscriptions that have been found on the mountain that show that people were sacrificing other people and throwing them in there because they believed it was the entrance to the netherworld.
Interestingly enough, that is sort of the northernmost area of this entire rift.
Right.
Now, going back to your theory, what if when the watchers touched down, they did more than just take women? They actually set off a series of seismic events.
Hmm.
We don't see that, so I can't back that up with scripture from Enoch, but just taking a look at the idea that when you look at when Jesus lands.
Right.
When Jesus returns in his second coming, he will touch down on the Mount of Olives and it will split. So there's something about this supernatural event of his return that causes that to happen.
Yeah, Zechariah 14, beginning at verse 4. On that day, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives that lies before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west by a very wide valley, so that one half of the mount shall move northward and the other half southward.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on the Mount of Olives when we were there and able to see the east gate of Jerusalem, the old city, the Temple Mount,
mm-hmm.
while we were there. And it's not as far apart as you'd think. It's just amazing thinking that on that day when he comes back, on the day of the Lord, and judgment comes to an unbelieving world, that kind of seismological activity, geological activity, earthquake, just an immense earthquake will take place.
Absolutely. And if you go back to 1 Kings, if I can find the location here.
This is an area that's had devastating, you know, absolutely destructive earthquakes in that region over the past couple thousand
years. Exactly. I just want to go back to this idea of earthquakes being, and activity like that being associated with spiritual and supernatural events. In 1 Kings, Elijah is talking with the Lord, and this is storm god language, so bear that in mind as I'm saying this. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. That's an earthquake or a volcano, rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks. This is not a small event. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. Volcano people. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice.
Right.
These events happen in Isaiah 29. You see the same sequence of events where wind, storms, fire, earthquakes all happen in judgment against Jerusalem. You see the same thing in the book of Revelation, that wind, fire, storms, earthquakes. We are told over and over again that there will be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes that happen. When earthquakes happen, they may be natural or supernatural.
Right, right. In fact, as our friend David W. Lowe wrote in his book Earthquake Resurrection, he pointed out that, where was it in... Oh, gosh, I'm losing it now. But I think it's Matthew 28, where there were many saints who were resurrected. But anyway,
yes.
But there was an earthquake at the moment of Jesus' resurrection.
Exactly.
The veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom.
Was torn in two. And what's really interesting, too, about that is we found out when we were in Israel, we need to take a break,
yes,
is that the headwaters that were coming out of the foot of Mount Hermon were suddenly stopped because of an earthquake.
Yeah, yeah. That was the source of the Jordan.
So did that happen then?
It could be. That's a really good point. Yeah, the source of the Jordan River has... changed because of that earthquake. Well, when we come back, we'll talk more about this and whether this great rift is continuing to widen. Some scholars, some geologists think it is. Also tell you about a new book that you've been waiting for from Defender Publishing that is finally here. SciFriday continues after this.
The Satanists wanted to install their own tribute, a pagan idol, on the Capitol grounds right next to the Ten Commandments.
Billions around the planet are witnessing a world in the grasp of sadistic spiritual darkness. This unholy alliance has infected our governments, our religious institutions, and our societies. The world appears to be unraveling. But can the evil behind these dark supernatural forces be defeated? Is everything playing out just as the Bible predicted it will in the final days? At last, you can know the answers to mankind's most urgent questions and learn your destiny among today's events in the new, unprecedented work taking the prophecy world by storm. Gods and Thrones, Nakash, Forgotten Prophecy and the Return of the Elohim, by best-selling author, former decorated law enforcement officer, and senior pastor Carl Gallups. This changes everything. Available now wherever fine books are sold.
The Ripper has claimed another victim, and a new shadow arises in the East. A monster with a ravenous appetite for human blood. This ancient vampire challenges the leadership of Red Wing. A fracture that erupts into civil war. At Queen Anne House, the wedding day of Charles and Elizabeth approaches, but treason within the inner circle threatens to destroy all their lives. The clock is ticking towards a final showdown between good and evil. Who will remain standing? The Blood is the Life by Sharon K. Gilbert. Book 3 of the Red Wing Saga, part of this exclusive offer. Get all 3 books of the Red Wing Saga, plus Dr. Michael Heiser's groundbreaking novels, The Facade and The Portent, a $90 value yours for a donation of just $40. Call 844-750-4985 or log on to SkywatchTVStore.com.
Welcome back to Sci Friday from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert along with Sharon K. Gilbert. The new Skywatch magazine is out.
Oh, yeah.
Wes Fall doing an amazing job with the layout of the magazine. We got some pictures from our trip to Israel, Jordan,
and
Sardinia here.
Derek and Sharon Gilbert in the Holy Land.
Yeah.
Hey, awesome.
So we got some pictures there as well as some new stuff, an update on what's going on at Whispering Ponies Ranch. The new season, the camping season for 2018 for the kids with Royal Family Kids.
It's
now
here.
Going on at the ranch. So your prayers much appreciated and coveted for the staff and for the children at the ranch, because the enemy's not going to give up these children without a fight. Children in foster care are at great risk for drugs, gangs,
they are, and if you can intervene when they're at
right.
a certain age, and those are the ages that come to the ranch, so many things can happen. So many lives can be changed.
Yep.
By the way, Realms of Stone will be in studio soon.
Yes.
We will give you the offer as soon as it's here. We talked to Tom, and he said, please... Please wait until it's here.
Yes.
So many people will be calling. But
because,
guess what is here?
Yes.
Guess what?
And the Defender Bible.
It's heavy.
Has finally arrived.
It's really heavy. Yeah, I'm going to try to get a really good angle. Well, it's shiny. This is a beautiful, beautiful Bible. I mean, it is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And as I say, it's thick and heavy, so.
Well, we appreciate your patience in waiting for this. This was something new for the printing company.
But they did
they
really
did an amazing
fine job on
yeah.
it.
So it's the King James Bible, but includes the Apocrypha, but it also includes the Book of Enoch.
Mm-hmm.
And so
this
and,
is a one of a kind. You will not find this set, if
right.
you want to put it that way, this
right.
collection of printed material anywhere.
Yeah, because the Apocrypha typically doesn't include Enoch.
No,
so including
it does
that
not.
Was a special
it's
deal.
It's a special deal. Well, this is beautiful. And those of you who are my age or older, you get it. Prints big. I was so happy when I saw that. Well, getting back to earthquakes in
yes.
the Rift Valley.
There was a news item that you saw a couple of weeks ago, or about a week or so ago, and you pulled this out. I guess the story is about a month or so ago, 2 months ago now, April.
It is. They're...
Geologists are looking at the widening of the ground in Kenya.
Yes,
places
exactly.
in Kenya.
Well, the thought is that eventually it will be its own little country. It will literally pull away.
The eastern side of Africa, basically,
mm-hmm,
yeah.
is pulling away.
Now, it may take a while for it to get there, but the fact is there are roads and farms and houses that are being destroyed because this rift is pulling apart.
Yeah, well, it's really funny. I found out this morning that that area was essentially discovered in the 1890s, so that will go into the Red Wing saga. But that area also is where Leakey later on found Lucy.
Oh, okay. Olduvai Gorge?
That region. Yeah, exactly. That region of the rift. That is a very important area of the world.
Yeah. And of course,
I don't buy the whole Lucy thing, but anthropologists and geologists alike find that area very interesting.
Very interesting, yeah.
And I find it very interesting because it's not the only rift on Earth. There are a number of rifts,
right, right.
a couple of dozen of them around the world, and there are several here in the United States. Something happened, geologically speaking, a long time ago, maybe not as long as the geologists think, but
yeah.
a long time ago, that essentially opened up like the fountains of the deep.
Yeah, yeah. Well, getting back to the Middle East and the Great Rift, and the fact that Mount Hermon is near the northern end of that rift, there is some reason that the Amorites, the Canaanites, who were essentially just the Western Amorites, the neighbors of the ancient Israelites, believed that the area around Hermon, specifically Bashan, which is the north end of the Golan Heights, was literally the entrance to the netherworld.
Mm-hmm.
And that the towns of Ashtaroth and Edrei, where Og of Bashan had his kingdom, was also the center of a kingdom ruled by a god called the King of Eternity, Rapayu.
Mm-hmm. And the belief that these spirits from beyond can come back.
Yeah, all through the Rift Valley,
mm-hmm.
which is why Ezekiel in Ezekiel 39 calls it the Valley of the Travelers.
Uh-huh.
Travelers in that context, meaning those that can travel from one plane of existence, the realm of the dead, over to the land of the living. And that's why that was so fascinating to get to visit that during our trip to Israel and Jordan. But that's a key aspect, a key part of my forthcoming book.
Well, it is. And earlier I mentioned, and really quickly because we're getting down to the wire here, in Isaiah 29, there's a judgment against what's called Ariel, but that's just another name for Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. This judgment includes terrifying ones, the terrible ones. I'm trying to find exactly what it is. But these, essentially, they're like travelers coming at the city. Here it is, the terrible ones. Verse 5, moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff that passeth away. These are invaders that are being used by the Lord for judgment against Jerusalem. This sounds very similar to what we see in the book of Revelation and in Daniel.
Yeah. The Hebrew word there, I'm going to probably mispronounce this, but it appears to be Arashim, which is rendered in the English Standard Version as ruthless, but the terrible ones, interesting.
They seem to have a spiritual component, because, again, we see this language of thunder, earthquake, great noise, storm, and tempest, devouring fire.
Similar to what Elijah saw when God said, no, you can't look at me this way. You're just going to hear me as a still, small voice.
Exactly. Exactly.
Huh.
This is storm God language, so the still, small voice, that's our Savior. The other, that's judgment.
Yeah. Well, these are things, and we bring in geology and all of this and get into some speculation because, you know, clearly when you're looking at, trying to look at the world with a supernatural worldview, you can't rely strictly on what your eyes see, ears hear, and what we can measure and quantify with our human senses because we don't perceive all of reality.
Right. But there are clues in the Bible that you can take those clues and add them up and the solution to the equation that you derive may not be 100% true, but if you follow through logically, oftentimes it's close to the truth, and you can really pray about it. But I think that there is clear evidence that something major happened in the past to cause these rifts to form.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it was millions of years of just going to move a little bit
drip,
today
drip.
And a little bit tomorrow.
Yeah, water torture over millions of years.
Torture. Yes.
Well, you're right. It may have been the day when the guardian cherub who covers, the anointed cherub who covers, was cast down.
It may have
heaven.
Been. As you and I, we don't always agree as to exactly when that happened, but at the very least, I think it was the fountains of the deep.
Yeah.
So we'll agree to disagree on that.
Well, or to agree, but in different ways, perhaps. We're dealing with 12 dimensions, after all.
I know.
Josh
it's all
Peck
of the above.
So.
It is all of the above.
That's it. It's Well, we thank you for watching as we keep watch. Have a blessed weekend. With Sharon Gilbert, I'm Derek Gilbert. And this is Sci Friday from SkyWatch TV.